Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla at the New York Stock Exchange. Kramer and Faber are at CNBC Global Headquarters. The Treasury Secretary just moments away as central banks, businesses, and governments respond to the COVID-19 crisis all around the world. Futures are limit up after the worst day for the Dow since 87. 10-year about 92 basis points. S&P now down 27% from the record close on Feb 19. And since then, $9 trillion in wealth has been wiped out. But guys, that interview with Barry just now does make you feel better, gives you hope.
Yeah, look, I think it's very important. I'm here with Dave Robert. We were just right before speaking with the Treasury Secretary. Are stocks cheap? Yes. Is the system working? Yes. Is the opportunity going to be great if the country's locked down? No. So what's important is to find out where the country is fiscally, which is why I think it is so important to speak to the Treasury Secretary, David.
Yeah. And the, I mean, the concerns that we had yesterday continue to be the concerns we have today, which is about businesses that are going to be forced to potentially suffer significant financial damage as a result of being closed or having no customers and what that's going to mean. Liquidity is always an issue, but it does seem to be at least, I mean, not in the treasuries where we've seen some illiquidity that has scared some people as well, Jim. And then, you know, moving into credit, which we need to focus on as well. You've had huge repricings, of course. The cost of capital has gone up dramatically for corporate America.
Right. And we have to remember that you can provide people some money, but those people don't want to go out. We are a service economy, two-thirds of our country's service. What do we do when you get money and yet you don't want to leave your house? And I think that's something we also have to address. So, look, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is closing in on a coronavirus aid deal with the Trump administration. Signs of an agreement lacking in partisanship, I might say, and unity in favor of the country. Leading the White House discussions, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, and he joins us now live first on CNBC. Mr. Secretary, thank you for finding the time to speak to us. How are the negotiations going with the Speaker of the House?
Jim, it's great to be here with you, and the negotiations are going very well. This has been a bipartisan effort. I spoke to the President and Vice President over 10 times yesterday to go through the issues and get direction. I've spoken to Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy constantly, spoke to them both already this morning, as well as the Speaker. And I think we're very close to getting this done. This is a very important bill for small and medium-sized businesses, for people that are impacted by the coronavirus. And let me just emphasize, I think we view this is the second inning in a baseball game. The first inning was the $8 billion bill. This is the second inning. The Speaker already came out and said she's prepared to work with us in the Senate on other issues. We'll be coming very quickly back on issues dealing with the airline industry. Just as after September 11th, we are very committed to make sure that our U.S. airlines have the ability and have the liquidity to get through this.
Mr. Secretary, I know you're a student of history and a student of history of the Treasury Department. We had a Secretary, Henry Morgenthau, during World War II. We had a Fed Chairman, Mariner Eccles. They worked hand in hand together to be able to make it so there was as much liquidity as necessary to beat the Axis. Is this an outright war? Because what I'm hearing is real dropping of partisanship. You working closely with Speaker Pelosi to be able to leverage whatever we can do to make it so the working person is able to handle and get through this period.
The president is absolutely committed that this will be an entire government effort, that we will be working with the House and Senate. And let me just say, I'm in constant conversations with Jay Powell. The Treasury and the Fed have many authorities. We don't have the same authorities we had before Dodd-Frank and the financial crisis, but we do have authorities. We will be looking at using those. The Fed yesterday injected $1.5 trillion in an unprecedented move. They announced $60 billion of bond purchases. So we're looking at a whole range of alternatives. And the other thing I would comment, Jim, is I know, you know, people have talked about companies drawing down their bank lines and things like that. Mm-hmm. The banks have a lot of liquidity, but the discount window is available. I would encourage banks. There's no stigma about going to the discount window. They should feel free to draw from the discount window. That's another great source of liquidity for them to lend to companies.
Well, many companies are pulling down their letters of credit all at the same time. I understand that, of course, because of your efforts and previous secretaries, we have the best banking system. There is no doubt about that. Can you and the Fed work together to guarantee those letter of credits can be done through the discount window so we can keep institutions alive that are employing millions of working people who cannot afford to be hurt by a virus that is not their doing?
Well, it's not as simple as us just guaranteeing letters of credit. Again, we'll be going back to Congress for authorities that they took away that we think we need to deal with this. We do have certain authorities. But I can assure you the president is determined we will do whatever we need. I think, you know, the president is looking at a major stimulus package, whether it's through the payroll tax cut or whether it's through another means of delivering liquidity to hardworking Americans. We've announced what will be about $200 billion of liquidity through delaying IRS payments. So hardworking Americans who have tax payments due or small and medium-sized businesses can delay them. I can assure you we will use whatever tools we need to make sure that the industries that are impacted by this get through this. And I thought Barry said a lot of things that were right. You know, this is a short-term issue. Maybe a couple of months, but we're going to get through this and the economy will be a little stronger than ever. You know, I look back at people who bought stocks after the crash in 1987, people who bought stocks after the financial crisis. For long-term investors, this will be a great investment opportunity.
Well, Mr. Secretary, that's an interesting point because there is so much money on the sidelines. But is it possible to waive the restrictions on 401ks and IRAs for people to take advantage of this? Is it possible to waive the restrictions on banks, particularly smaller community banks, to be able to get them in there to buy stock well below their book value? Is it a time where we can stress that there are bargains and opportunities because we will beat this virus? You will help us do it. I know you'll put together a working group of top scientists and top CEOs to beat it. We'd like to be able to have people participate, but the money they need to participate with is not able to get into the stock market because of restrictions that I believe can be waived right now so they can take advantage of this.
Well, Jim, I'll follow up with you afterwards and get your list of ideas. But whatever we can waive, we will waive. And I want to give you another interesting statistic. In South Korea, they tested 200,000 people with symptoms, and 96% of them didn't have coronavirus. So there will be people who get this. But again, I just emphasize for healthy Americans and for young people, they may not even know they have this. And not everybody who has sniffles will have the coronavirus. And I'm not traveling this weekend because I'm way too busy. But I'd get on a commercial airline and fly to L.A. if I wasn't working 24 hours a day.
You know, in some ways, Mr. Secretary, it's David Faber. I'm surprised to hear you say that, though. There are not enough test kits still available, apparently, for us to actually share in what seems to be your optimism about the lack of actual infection. You know, when are we going to get to the point, and when we do, with all those test kits out there, get to the point that we certainly realize there are more people who do have the virus? Are you not concerned that that's going to stoke more panic?
Well, people should understand the numbers are going to go up before they go down. I think, as you have said, we have heard about the test kit issues. We talked about that again yesterday at the task force. I can assure you the vice president and the entire team are focused on this and making sure that people have test kits. One of the things we have in the bill is that people who are not insured will be able to get tests. We want to make sure that tests are available for people. And we realize we got to roll them out. But people will be able to get testing, and that's something that is being worked on, I can tell you, 24/7 right now.
Mr. Secretary, during times like this, as you might imagine, I try to call as many senior members of our financial services industry as I can to get their thoughts. Many of them don't like to go on the record, as you well know. But with increasing frequency over the last 24 hours, they've said the following to me. We need a two-week or even more national holiday. Right, right. We need the markets closed. We need the Fed and the Treasury to provide unlimited liquidity to businesses and banks and everything else. We need to shut it down so that then we can get started again and give people peace of mind. Is that something? I'm sure you've heard it. I know you're talking to these same people. What do you say when you hear that?
Well, let me just comment on the second part first, which is the Fed and the Treasury are doing everything we can to provide what you've described as almost unlimited liquidity. As I mentioned, a $1.5 trillion program. is unprecedented. We'll be rolling out other programs. We're in constant touch with the Fed. As I've said, the discount window, banks have plenty of liquidity. So there will be a massive amount of liquidity. In regards to shutting down the markets, I'm not hearing that. Actually, I'm hearing the exact opposite from the professionals. We intend to keep the markets open. That's a sign of confidence to people. There are people who want to come in and buy. We want to have markets open. We've kept markets open through many, many times. The circuit breakers work. I've had discussions with all the regulators. The markets are working orderly. So, no, I heard rumors yesterday, which I think are ridiculous, about New York City closing down and markets closing down.
Right. Thank you.
Quite the opposite. We intend to do everything we can to keep markets open. Now, I have heard yesterday, I heard there were some issues in off-the-run treasuries and liquidity. We're working on that. I've heard there's issues in the CP market. We're working on that. But let me tell you, we got 100 things on our list.
Yeah.
And as soon as we get done with the speaker on this bill, we'll be going back for more things. And as I said, the president wants a stimulus package. We're going to do whatever we need to do to support hardworking Americans who are impacted by this. And there's no question there's a short-term economic issue, but we will get through this, and the economy will be stronger than ever when we get through
Understood, but the economy, regardless of what you may say, is kind of shutting down. I mean, corporate America seems to have taken the lead here. When you look out in the NBA and the NHL and the NCAAs and Major League Baseball and Disneyland are all closed, I mean, things are shutting down, aren't they, Mr. Secretary?
Well, they are. And I would say, look, the corporate America is responding to the medical advice. I think, as you know, the president made the decision to shut down travel with Europe because of the medical professionals thought this would stop the spread of the virus. Businesses are shutting down sporting events. So there's no question there are parts of the economy that are going to be shut down. As I've mentioned, airlines are having issues. But we will provide liquidity in these parts of the economy to deal with this. And again, this is not like the financial crisis where people don't know when this will end. We will get through this. And again, the medical experts can't give us a definitive period of time, whether this is 1 month or 2 months or 3 months. But we're going to get through this by the end of the year. Again, I think you can expect we're going to have a big rebound in economic activity.
Mr. Secretary, it is so important for everyone, for every working person to be able to get a break here. I think whatever Treasury can do, whatever this country can do. Let's just pick a group that you and I are no longer a part of, millennials. They are burdened with a lot of student debt. Can we suspend their payments for the next 3 months so they suddenly have money in their pockets? So if we're going to beat this thing, and we need these people to be ready and willing to go back to work, but we need them to have enough money to be able to sustain this period. Suspending student debt just for 3 months, not canceling. What do you think?
Jim, I can tell you that's on our list of 50 different items we're bringing to the president for a decision. So that'll be something we're looking at. Again, we have lots of authorities. We also, things where we don't have authorities, we're going to work with both the House and the Senate on a bipartisan basis. I can assure you the president is all about action, action, action.
Mr. Secretary, it's Carl. On corporate tax cuts, people now wondering whether it's time to finally admit that the tax cuts will not, in fact, pay for themselves. And were black swan scenarios ever accounted for in the drafting of that action?
Well, I'm going to stick with my prediction. And as I've said before, this is just math. Over a 10-year period of time, I think the tax cuts will pay for themselves. Again, it's about 30, 35 basis points of additional growth over 10 years. And again, this black swan event is going to be a relatively short period of time when we look at a 10-year span.
And as we watch headlines from the German government today, the EU reportedly ready to trigger crisis clauses. How much coordination is going on ahead of this G7 Finmin call on Monday?
I can tell you I've been in constant contact with other finance ministers in the G7 and the G20. I applaud what they are doing in Europe. I think their economy was significantly slower than ours coming into this. They had fiscal room. They should be using it. So we are in constant contact, both the central bank governors and the finance ministers.
Mr. Secretary, once again, I know as a student of history, as you showed me around. You told me where Secretary Hamilton was, Secretary Galton was. You understand Secretary Morgenthau. At that period, we had 100% cooperation among Congress, among the president, among the Federal Reserve, and the Treasury Secretary, with the Treasury Secretary leading the effort to fight the Axis. Are we on wartime footing, sir? Are you getting the full cooperation of Treasury and Speaker Pelosi and, of course, the president, who I know you speak for?
I think we are, and I'd add in Mitch McConnell, okay, and Kevin McCarthy in that, who have been an important part of this. Mark Meadows, who's just getting involved as chief of staff, has been part of this, the entire White House, Larry Kudlow. So this is a 100% team effort, and we are putting aside partisan issues to get things done. And again, let me emphasize, I think we're like in the second inning of getting things done. So we'll be back. We'll be passing more legislation. And the president is prepared to act, do whatever we need to do. Again, I think people are going to look back at this. And again, I can't predict where the markets are in the short term, but I think the economy and the markets will be a lot stronger later in the year.
I totally agree with you, sir. How do we determine which industries are to be saved? Do we save cruise ships? Do we save airlines? Do we save restaurants? What do we find is worth saving, and what are we willing to let go of?
Well, Jim, let me just say, I mean, obviously the president's first concern is the health issue and making sure we have the resources on the health side. But on the economic side, our priority, again, round one here is around small and medium-sized businesses, making sure that people who can't work because they're home quarantined or they're taking care of family members or their kids are out of school because schools have shut down, that they continue to get paid for short periods of time. So that's the first priority. I can tell you the airlines I've met with or spoken to all the airline CEOs, that is the next priority on my list, only because, again, it's critical that we have domestic airline travel, and no different than after September 11th, this has hit the airline industry particularly hard. But I can also tell you hotels, cruise lines, small businesses, again, these are all areas that we're focused on. But the good news is there's many parts of the economy that people can telework, people can continue to do work, that it's strong, that it will come back, and that there's lots of liquidity. So, again, this isn't like the financial crisis. There's a lot of businesses that will continue to be very strong. And as you said, there are industries that are going to be particularly hard hit. And that's what we're focused on. And that's part of the reason why the president's considering a very large stimulus program to keep hardworking Americans have money to put back into the economy.
We spent the last year talking about tariffs on global trade. Are tariff rollbacks anywhere near being on the table? And what kind of crisis would it take to put them there?
That's not something we're considering at the moment. But I can tell you, you know, Ambassador Lighthizer is looking at additional exemptions for companies that are particularly hit and have issues with the virus. So, again, to the extent there are company-specific issues, we will address that with the president and react accordingly.
Mr. Secretary, do you think we're doing enough, as you said, to stem what is a health crisis? Many medical professionals, I'm sure you've heard this, want to make sure we slow the spread of this virus to make sure the healthcare system is not overwhelmed. Do you think we need to do more in terms of limiting activity, or are we doing enough?
Well, let me just say, and you know, I've been involved on the outside of a lot of crises before. I wasn't in the government, but let me just tell you, I am incredibly impressed over the last month the resources that we have within the government, both the medical professionals, the expertise that there is internally. And again, every single agency is involved. The vice president has been leading this task force. We're literally meeting multiple times a day and focused on things. So I can assure you the president, the vice president, the entire team is 100% focused on this. And things are moving fast. So the president is making decisions to protect the American people and protect the American economy.
So, Mr. Secretary, you know as well as I do, in 1987, on Terrible Tuesday, midday, when we felt that the Dow may go through 1,400 to 1,100 after being at 2,700 just a few weeks before, Chairman Greenspan did something very bold. He just put out one line. There will be liquidity available. Do not worry about liquidity. Are you giving us that line right now? Do not worry about liquidity. There will be liquidity available, which gave people tremendous confidence to go in and buy stocks at what we now know was one of the greatest historic buying opportunities ever.
Jim, let me tell you, I was a young trader in 1987, and that was a much scarier time than it is today. Okay, this is nothing compared to that. And yes, let me give you that one line. There will be liquidity available. Whatever we need to do, whatever the Fed needs to do, whatever Congress needs to do, we will provide liquidity, and this will be an entire whole-of-government approach led by the president.
Mr. Secretary, I also know that we've known you for a long time, that you are a tremendous business person, not just at Goldman, but also in private industry. You know as well as I do that while we like a tax, any sort of tax abatement, that's terrific. We all have little businesses. I've had little businesses. I have little businesses. I run two restaurants. We've already made the decision. You know what? We're going to keep them open even if we have no customers because we have a payroll of about 20 people. We're not going to let them down. But you and I both know we are lucky enough to have the means to do that, not bragging, just saying. But most of the restaurants on my blocks, most of the small business, I think they're going to, if they don't get customers, they may not be able to get through this. And that means American working people who did nothing but wash dishes and be waitresses and waiters, which we love and we support, they will not have any sort of taxes that they can possibly have cut. They don't have a payroll break because they're not on a payroll. What do we do for these American working people who we know did nothing wrong whatsoever?
Well, Jim, let me just start with, and as you said, there's a lot of people who have had great success in the Trump economy and a lot of corporations that have made a lot of money. And I would hope that these corporations are willing to lower their profits and keep their employees employed through this, even though there'll be short-term difficult times. There will be people, as you said, who are impacted. And again, we're going to look at every tool in the toolbox. So stimulus can be done in a lot of different ways. We can do it for people who are working. We'll look at people who have been laid off specifically related to the coronavirus. Again, let me just comment. This isn't like the financial crisis. We have a medical situation that has shut down and will shut down parts of the economy like we've never seen. But then they're going to open back up. And I think there's going to be a lot of demand. So you're right. What we need to focus on is particularly the small businesses who are going to have big issues and do everything we can. And again, the good news is we're an economy where there were more jobs open than workers. So hopefully some of these people will be redeployed in other parts of the economy.
Mr. Secretary, I want to thank you so much. We want to thank you so much. Everything you can do for the American working person will stand out as put you in where we talk about with the Treasury Secretaries when you walk the halls of the Treasury Department. You are, I got to let you go. I know that. Let's get it done. Let's beat this.
Jim, we will. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Jim, that's great work. The Treasury Secretary. It strikes me, Jim, you know, we got three buckets of pretty encouraging news. Obviously, government response like that is one. The other is the cancellations that David was mentioning, businesses taking matters into their own hands. And then we got some really decent news on testing today, whether it's this Roche FDA approval, HHS putting an admiral in charge of testing, a 24/7 hotline from the FDA for those who need authorization for tests. So things are happening at the same time.
Right. And look, I know, I'm a stock guy. I'm not making policy. I would love to be able to say this is the greatest buying opportunity. Then what happens, obviously, it opens high and the profit takers come in who bought low yesterday. What I feel reassured about is that the mechanisms are going to work. So therefore, you can make the decision to take advantage and buy a Verizon or buy a Pfizer or buy a company that, frankly, is going to do well no matter what. And then we can look at them. I know a lot of people are thinking about, let's just take a Disney for a second. Do you buy a Disney now that they close the theme parks? Well, a lot of us have been waiting for them to do that. They have liquidity. But you have to make a judgment yourself about what kind of risk you're willing to take. There are obviously opportunities that I would like to take after hearing the secretary that I would not have wanted to do before, which is why I think, number one, that was so important. Number two, I do believe that if you're an American working person, the man has you at your heart, which at his heart, which also I think means the president does. I did not hear of Rancor between the Secretary and Speaker Pelosi. We can only hope that this is a time when partisanship is put away, because this is wartime footing. Maybe not for the stock market, but certainly for the health market.
It felt like it yesterday, of course, as we watched a significant rebound in equities this morning, Jim.
Right.
But yesterday, I mean, the worst day since 1987.
No, there was a lot of
9.5%.
At least it was orderly. We had prices.
It was orderly, but when you have dislocations like this, you do start to see things or hear about things, at least as I am, both in the credit market and the equity market, that could cause further dislocation.
Absolutely.
You need to work on them. Some of them are rumored,
not true. I think you should talk about them right now, some given the fact that the market's up. Maybe we have an opportunity to be able to take advantage of it for some people who want to get liquid.
You heard enough there from the Secretary. I mean, I guess, you know, I continue to talk to people. Again, many of them don't want to be mentioned, so
sure,
to speak,
sure,
at this point, although they may come public, who just feel like there needs to be more done in terms of at least.
But you didn't think that he would be committed to that?
I mean, I do. I guess, you know, in terms of actually attacking the health crisis and making people feel more confident that this is not going to spread.
Yes, I know. And Secretary, I've got to tell the Secretary, if he's speaking to Dr. Fauci. Well, Dr.
You shouldn't
Fauci,
get on a plane, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Last night at town hall. Go ahead.
Fauci was on Good Morning America today talking about 8 more weeks, he thinks, of working from home and shutdowns, Jim. So this is, and I've heard a lot more about peak hospitalizations in May. From the tone of the secretary there, it does sound like it's a matter of a couple of months at least.
Well, that would be great if it is just a couple of months, because then at least we'll be, if they do stopgap measures, we'll be able to get the American working people through this. I do want to comment on Dr. Fauci. I know a lot of people feel like, well, hold it, he's on TV. Who is he? Dr. Fauci is, I think, largely the man who cured AIDS, or at least made it a chronic disease. He's probably the foremost epidemiologist in the world. We're lucky to have him. I hope he continues to come out. He's not a calming person. He's a person who's a realist. And I think that is quite what we need right now. David, even if he says at a town hall last night that maybe it would not be appropriate to take a plane.
Yeah. We're going to go to Bob Pisani, I think, Jim, obviously talk a lot more about these markets, both equity and credit markets, because the credit markets, obviously, during times like this are very important. Well, we try as best we can, but let's send it over to Carl now.
All right, guys. New York City declaring that state of emergency in the wake of the virus yesterday. What would happen if the NYSE floor closed? Bob Pisani does have some answers. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Carl. The New York Stock Exchange is now allowing most personnel to work from home. The people here on the floor or behind me here, most part, they're not NYSE employees. Yesterday, I asked NYSE President Stacey Cunningham what would happen to the floor in the event someone tested positive for coronavirus right here. Let's listen in.
If there is an outbreak, we can clean the floor and reopen pretty quickly as well. So that's something we're not planning to close the floor at this time. But as you mentioned, we could, and we could trade fully electronically.
Now, the NYSE has had a business continuity plan, BCP, in place for decades here on the floor in the event it needs to close for a flood, a snowstorm, or any other disaster. But this plan would allow the NYSE to trade electronically without the floor if it needs to. The market makers and floor brokers who are here can continue to participate in that electronic trading, though there may be some limitations around things like the closing auctions. The NYSE has closed many times over the years, notably 4 months at the outbreak of World War II in 1914, the death of John F. Kennedy in November 63, 4 days after the 9/11 attack, and for 2 days after Hurricane Sandy in October 2012. With these cases, though, the markets were closed. In this situation, potentially now, there is the possibility of closing the floor by keeping the markets open electronically. That's different. In the event that some or all of the people working here need to self-quarantine, traders tell me that many have now begun splitting up into teams, some working from separate offices in order to avoid having an entire firm self-quarantine. That's a model that, of course, is being adopted by many companies that need to keep up and running in some capacity. In the meantime, of course, both the Cboe Options Exchange floor and the CME trading floor have been closed temporarily. Carl, back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. Jim, I wanted to bring up with you Michael Wilson, Morgan Stanley this morning. We believe it is time to start adding to equity risk for longer-term investors. They say their bear case is pretty much priced in after the horrible couple of weeks that we have had.
Well, look, I mean, it does deal with balance sheets, and I think credit matters. I mean, I think that there's a period in our lives we've got to start thinking not about the S&P 500, but individual companies that have tremendous balance sheets that can withstand this. Okay, let's just pick two, all right? Verizon, which we know you do not stop using.
No.
Right?
That's not going to be a concern.
Right, not a big concern.
No.
And
people's ability to pay their bills, however, may be a concern.
Right. And I'm going to do this not to irritate David, but I think it does have a bit of levity. Bristol Myers.
There you go.
That's the kind of stock you buy. You've got a good yield. Dr. Cafario knows everything about Italy and knows everything about our system, and that's a bargain.
All right, guys, there is the opening bell and the S&P 500 at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange and the big board, the New York Stock Exchange's VP of Building Operations. And at the NASDAQ, the New York City Hemophilia Chapter and biotech company BioMarin. Jim, how closely are you watching, I guess, I mean, the Roche news sort of leads you once again to Gilead and Regeneron today.
You know, look, I think that I'm in contact a great deal with Len Schleifer, who, by the way, was our, just to put a little perspective, 15 years ago, he was our first guest on Mad Money. The stock was at five. Let's see, the stock is currently at, let's just say he's made you a lot of money. And I think that he is 449. That's a nice return. I think that what he's doing is playing the Ebola playbook. Remember, they are the ones that actually solved Ebola. I'm looking at people like Fauci, who was AIDS, and Len, who was Ebola. I know they're working on a great number of things. I know that a lot of people say it can't be beaten. But a lot of people felt that the Axis couldn't be beaten when Warren Buffett was buying in 1942. I do believe that Len and the people that he's involved with have a real solid chance. I think that Roche with kits, we need confidence. We get kits, we have confidence. Like the secretary said, you'll find places where that it turns out there are far less disease than we think, so we won't be so frozen. So I am actually optimistic about the response at this point. I think we're more likely to be South Korea than Italy. That may be too wishful thinking, David.
Well, certainly we all hope that that's the case. And if it is the case, that would be a very positive thing, meaning we come back quickly,
right,
conceivably. And the concern about bankruptcies, the concern about companies that are not taking in much in the way of any revenues, right, at this point would abate. And conceivably, the market would at least as well sort of respond to that. Obviously, we're seeing that right now with significant gains in the averages. After we heard from the speaker, after there is potential action right, in the Congress to start, he did say, right, second inning, indicating there's a lot more ahead.
Right.
But there's plenty to continue to be concerned about as well.
But I think I just want to tell individuals, if you're on margin, will you get the hell off it right now, right here? You're just playing with fire.
If you missed our interview, Jim, of course, brought us the Treasury Secretary a few moments ago, said we're going to get through this. It's a short-term issue. Said he'd get on a commercial airline today if he weren't working 24-7. Added that they intend to keep the markets open and did talk about liquidity. Take a listen.
Chairman Greenspan did something very bold. He just put out one line. There will be liquidity available. Do not worry about liquidity. Are you giving us that line right now? Do not worry about liquidity. There will be liquidity available, which gave people tremendous confidence to go in and buy stocks at what we now know was one of the greatest historic buying opportunities ever.
Jim, let me tell you, I was a young trader in 1987, and that was a much scarier time than it is today. Okay, this is nothing compared to that. And yes, let me give you that one line. There will be liquidity available. Whatever we need to do, whatever the Fed needs to do, whatever Congress needs to do, we will provide liquidity, and this will be an entire whole of government approach led by the president.
All right, Jim, does that answer all the concerns that you really started to raise yesterday?
Yes, it does. Now, that, of course, does not mean that all stocks are buys. We have a lot of companies. And remember, he was trying to talk about what companies will be saved. I mean, let's just talk about it. If you look at the stocks, Royal Caribbean, okay, you look at Carnival. You have to decide, are these companies that need to be saved? We know that we need a strong airline industry. Now, those are quite different from buying Alphabet, because it's come down a lot and they have $100 billion in cash. I suggest to people when they start buying, yes, you can do index buying, absolutely, but it would be much better to try to be targeted about companies that can give you a very good income, particularly the utilities. And so therefore, you'll be able to make up for what they have to do, which is keep treasury rates low. Do I think it's a buying opportunity when we open up like this? Historically, it has not been that kind of buying opportunity. Historically, it's been the opposite. If somebody wants to come in at these levels, I understand. But maybe perhaps we have a better level. I prefer for people who have no liquidity or need the money to make some sales here, because I think that you're probably over your head and shouldn't have been. These are people who are levered. There are buys, but I think it's always better to wait than an up opening.
You do. Yeah. I thought it was interesting, Jim, that he did single out the airline industry in
particular
for potential support. Obviously, also mentioned he would get on a plane, seeming to encourage that behavior, which, by the way, health professionals aren't necessarily in favor of at this point. But I thought that was interesting.
Although, yeah, that's interesting, David. You know, MKM has a note out today, and they basically say there are two important parameters for respiratory fitness. Whether you're a smoker and the air pollution in the country where you live. And by those measures, we are way ahead of Italy and Iran and South Korea and China. Now, there are other factors like obesity and the degree to which we mandate movement around the country. But I tweeted this morning, that's a relatively decent hand if you're looking at some of these worst-case outcomes.
Right, right. And we can only hope. I mean,
right,
because we certainly want to make sure that the death rate that they have in Italy, which is just disastrous.
It's
nothing at all like what we would see.
It's very interesting because I'm very familiar with the Italian healthcare system. It is superb. It's leadership that matters. Having done this, I didn't actually choose hospitals for someone,
right,
for one of my employees. But I would point out that what we really love to hear, I would love to hear from a David Simon, for instance.
Simon Property.
Simon Property. She's paid $33 billion in distributions.
Yep.
He's the foremost person when it comes to retail, as far as I'm concerned. He is a brilliant man, because I need to know whether the retailers are able to get through this period. I think that's incredibly important.
The mall operators are a key focus. We can see what's happened to Simon Property Group there at the end. You know, by the way, there are those who are writing CDS on these. They are
Mr. Simon.
They are in a bad position.
David
right now.
Simon?
Well, no. In general, the mall operators, I'm aware that there have been buyers of it who are obviously quite happy because they've been doing that as protection.
It's men and women separated from the boys and girls.
Betting on a slow, steady demise of the malls that we've been talking about for years because of the trends that we've talked about.
Right.
Will this change behavior in a significant way once it is over and done with, of course, continues to be a question, Jim.
Right, well,
will people no longer congregate in the same way, or will they just go back to normal behavior? You know, we asked the same questions after 9/11. I think we know the answer.
Right. There are Amazon boxes stacked at our house. Obviously, you know, my wife is saying, I can get it from Amazon. Sunday delivery was amazing for toilet paper. I mean, whatever. There's some rationing. They're trying to be, of course, very sensible. But Amazon is ascendant once again. And it's very important that we preserve some of these retailers because we don't want hundreds of thousands of people be thrown out of work. I wish I had had a chance to ask the Treasury Secretary that. I did not. I failed at that.
We didn't have all the time in the world.
No, yeah, we had a lot more questions.
It's interesting. I wonder what you thought, Jim, speaking of Apple and consumer spending, his point that once this episode ends, how much willingness will there be to spend $1,000 on an iPhone? What does this do to truly discretionary products and the consumer's willingness to maybe trade down?
Well, we certainly don't want to be in a situation like, in my case, my parents, in some cases, people watching grandparents, or even great-grandparents, where you just stop spending. And you stop spending because you just didn't know when the next time was going to happen. We don't want to do that. I do know, I mean, it's very difficult for Luca Maestri, for the CFO of Apple, to come out today and say, listen, I'm buying every share. That doesn't help us. We want them to be orderly. I bet you he is buying some stock. He's such a brilliant man. But you're right, Carl. I mean, I don't want the psyche can change so quickly. The go-out psyche. I mean, I looked at the returns last night for our restaurants. I'm not, these are little businesses. I'm fortunate enough to have them. People are still going out, but will that be the case 3 weeks from now? I don't know.
I would like
to hear from Adam Silver. I mean, Adam Silver just showed a level of leadership, basically sacrificing profit over and going for health. And that was a brilliant move that we know even caught Mark Cuban, the owner, by surprise.
That is why I continue to hear this idea of, well, maybe we benefit more from a total shutdown for a couple of weeks. Because, look, China, you know, Carl, China's coming back after, obviously, what were draconian measures they took, in particular, in certain parts of the country. But things are truly coming back there in terms of their economy.
Absolutely.
And there is a belief that were we to do the same, we might be in a similar position. And perhaps that's what you need to. Obviously not shared by the Treasury Secretary, And others in the financial services industry may disagree, but I'm certainly hearing that.
Well, wouldn't you like to see
all Apple stores are open back in China, all 42 stores.
Right.
Eunice Yoon, of course, our correspondent in Beijing, with an amazing piece, guys, today on CNBC.com, basically saying, look, this is how it was for us. You guys have the advantage of knowing what we now know as a result of the experience in Beijing, and with a lot of reassurances, I might add.
Yeah, but yesterday at the mall at Short Hills, there was a lot of people at the Apple store. And I hope that Tim Cook keeps those, Tim Cook keeps them open. People want Apple. And it's, look, you own Apple, you don't trade it. What I would love to see is a series of executives either announcing new buybacks or doing a level of insider buying that demonstrates that they put their money where their mouth is. We need to see that. We need to see that by 12 o'clock, and we need to see the filings by the end of the day. David, you know it does matter to see a level of conviction, like what Barry Sternlicht showed when he – it was a great interview, by the way,
yeah.
Star Wars.
And SoftBank, too?
SoftBank with the buyback? Yeah, potentially. Yep. I mean, that's, you know, in some ways also a relation to what we typically talk about here, of course, an activist campaign by Elliott trying to get them to do that. Doesn't seem the most opportune time, perhaps, to be spending cash in a buyback. But
no, but you know, sometimes you have to look, I don't want them to paint the tape, so to speak.
Right.
Would I love to see Bob Iger buy stock in Disney? You bet.
Well, he's only executive chairman now, so it might actually be Jay Beck.
I'll take anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take Mickey Mouse at this point. You know, he never let you show. You ever tried to interview Mickey? You know, I tried to interview Mickey Mouse when Disney World opened up.
A tough interview.
It was easier to interview the president.
Yeah, that's a tough interview. Yeah. You know, Jim, when Mnuchin said this is not 87, that was scarier. You know, I was reminded. Obviously, I was a young reporter then, but and then the crises we've had since then.
Right.
But this is different. You know, this is not just a financial.
No, I know.
Economic issues. This is a health crisis.
It's health bleeding
and it's this
financial.
Weird combination where you're sort of focused on one thing and then the other and the impact from one on the other. It's very difficult to know how to navigate.
You're absolutely right, David. I mean, I spoke to my kids yesterday. I have a 28-year-old and a 25-year-old. And they were talking about real life. And all I could think of was like, geez, I hope they're safe. Geez, I hope they're safe. Yeah, and then I'm saying, well, hold it just a second. I hope they're safe. You like AT&T more than Verizon. I mean, the conflate of the two. As a parent, as a husband, you sit there and you come home and there's the ladies, the women sitting around the dinner table and you see the food. And the first thing you think of is like, geez, did the guy have a temperature or the lady who had a temperature who brought that food?
Right.
I mean, these are the kinds of things where you're sitting there and you say, well, hold on, how about Darden? Is it too cheap? You know, in my mind, because I am in the end a dollar sign represented by a man. It is tough to have my usual role when I'm thinking about my daughter in Madrid and how I can't see her.
Yeah, without a doubt. That is right. You can't see her. At the same time, a 9.5% decline in the S&P also gets your attention. So you're sort of, then you're worrying about your financial future if you're out there somebody who's perhaps fully invested.
Yes, and that's why I say those are people who can take advantage of this rally. I don't want them to be fully invested just in case this turns out to be ephemeral and we find more people who are sick and it takes months. I do, when I look at some of the things that the secretary said, obviously, he's talking about a far bigger toolkit than they had in 87. Obviously, we're lucky. He was someone who actually took advantage of things correctly in 2008. I worked for his father. The Mnuchin family is someone you want to bank with.
Indy Mac was a big success.
$13 billion. He took advantage because he had faith in America. I would have liked to hear more about that they're all together. I wanted to hear Speaker Pelosi has, without a doubt, taken whatever ill will there's been off the table, and so has President Trump. The ill will has to stop if the country is going to be able to stay on equal footing with the rest of the world.
We're going to hear that sound in a second. Obviously, we're well off the initial highs. You know, yesterday, Jim, J.P. Morgan said we recommend using bounces as opportunities to reduce exposure as a sustained rebound is unlikely to occur quickly. We think the selling by systematic investors is mostly over now, but fundamental investors could sell more. You buy that?
Yeah, I do. I do think that, look, we're going to look back. This is maybe the Warren Buffett moment. Think about it. Several weeks ago, Becky interviewed him. He was talking about how you can do buying. He wants to buy America. He also said he wanted to buy America in October 2008. It was a terrible time. And you lost a ton of money.
By the way, he's got plenty of money to buy as much as he wants.
He has unlimited
right
capital.
Now.
But then you made a ton of money. So, yeah, look, Carl, you know I don't like to buy up markets. If we had to get a down market, remember the bottom in Terrible Tuesday was around 12, 1230. Why not commit some money? But again, it has to do with your balance sheet. If you've been in cash for as long as people have, you have to say, okay, look, I'm going to put together a yield-oriented portfolio because I'm making nothing with my money and I won't be able to make money in my senior years when I retire. So this is when you take a hard look at a Verizon. This is when you buy an American Electric Power, which benefits from deflation. It is deflation. Maybe you buy some gold just because gold has come down. There's people who think it's deflationary. I always think it's good to put 10% of your money in gold. But is this the right moment? Well, why not wait till it comes down a little? Because we don't know if it's quicksand. But yeah, then I would do some buying if I had all cash. Yep. You're never going to call the bottom, but you're certainly not near the top.
Hey, Carl, to come back to you, I know we're going to hear more from Mnuchin, who knows his way around the credit markets as well. We're going to listen more from our interview. He's not going to. Well, we hope he comes on frequently, and perhaps he will start to.
Well.
But, the cost of capital I mentioned, of course, is going up right now for corporate America. High yield, a bit of a rally now, so yield's coming down a bit. But you're talking triple Cs that were, 16%?
Yeah.
Roughly yesterday. I mean, the moves overall, the average in high yield was 5% only a few weeks ago. Now it's 9%. Now, remember, energy, of course, a separate story through all of this that we've also been following, given the plunge in oil prices, is a part of high yield. Roughly 10% in dollar terms, but 15% overall, but 10% because the bonds have fallen so sharply at this point. But one other thought that Jim had brought up a number of times yesterday is, these banks in 08, 99% of the lines that were pulled down, the revolvers, were good. And the banks were there.
Right.
And my understanding is that is not as much of a concern. Certainly there are industries that are going to pull down their revolvers.
Right.
We know what those
Boeing did the other day.
As Boeing did. And you can imagine if you're in hospitality or leisure, anything related to these industries, you're going to pull them down. But it's not as much of a concern. The banks will be there. They are going to, I am told, absolutely honor all of that. They have to. And that's not as much of a concern, perhaps, as some may have had initially on the idea.
Don't you wish that there were some big investors who would come out? Isn't this the time for Warren Buffett to give a call to Becky Quick?
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I haven't seen these values in a long time.
Yeah.
Well, we know that the annual meeting is going to be virtual, guys, now going from 2 days to an hour and 15 minutes because they do not, in Buffett's words, want to make Omaha responsible for becoming a hot zone.
Well, that's good. Just have a little history here. I know a lot of people feel we've fallen well behind when it comes to the kids, when it comes to the war against this illness.
Well, we have.
Well, but let's remember General Marshall, one of the greatest people of all time, recognized that we had the 17th largest standing army in 1938 and realized that that was wrong. You would say that we were woefully, we had no kits back
then. We were unprepared this
time,
too. Well,
General Marshall went to Congress and said, we are a disgrace and we need to have a multiple million men army. And who won the war? The virus or us?
The virus only has to win once, unfortunately. We have to win every time. But yes, it would be great when we have all the testing available that we need. We're still not there, Jim.
No, we're absolutely not.
Gottlieb says 10,000 a day by next week. All right, that would be a huge improvement.
Gottlieb has distinguished himself along with Dr. Fauci as realists. Again, we need facts. That's the only way to fight fear. And if we get to that level, then I know that we will have much more confidence. All of us know employees by this point who have temperature, and we want to know whether they have it or not. Adam Silver told us, think about the action, the statesmanship of that commissioner, because that was the moment in America where we all realized this thing is winning. And that was 1942 when we were fighting. That was midway as far as I'm concerned. And I keep using war footing because we all know this is a war against an unseen enemy as opposed to that time. And Adam Silver said, you know what? Money means nothing. We have to protect the population. A level of leadership that I have rarely seen in this country.
Gosh.
I salute Adam Silver, who I've been desperately trying to get on TV, frankly.
I was just reading his letter from the NBA this morning. Guys, COVID-19, quote, reminds us that we are all part of a broader society with a responsibility to look out for each other. It's a really good letter. We're going to watch for headlines regarding Mnuchin and Pelosi. Here's what the secretary told us a few moments ago.
The president is looking at a major stimulus package, whether it's through the payroll tax cut or whether it's through another means of delivering liquidity to hardworking Americans. We've announced what will be about $200 billion of liquidity through delaying IRS payments. So hardworking Americans who have tax payments due or small and medium-sized businesses can delay them. I can assure you we will use whatever tools we need to make sure that the industries that are impacted by this get through this. This is a short-term issue, maybe a couple of months, but we're going to get through this and the economy will be a little stronger than ever. You know, I look back at people who bought stocks after the crash in 1987, people who bought stocks after the financial crisis. For long-term investors, this will be a great investment opportunity.
Look, Jim, let's talk about that. And then let's talk briefly about what we do with the basket of news we got from Ulta and Adobe and Broadcom and others.
Well, look, I mean, I was going back and forth with Safra Katz. I wish she would come on this morning. She's CEO of Oracle. Look, I'm a cloud fan. Oracle moving to the cloud, but I see a good quarter, and that was terrific. I think Ulta, Mary Dillon is fabulous. I want to bank with her. But you know what, Carl? As I asked the secretary, what I really need is the confidence that I have enough capital to be able to buy. And the only way to do that is to be able to make it so that we change the rules for 401ks and change the rules for IRAs. Because if there are limits, I'm afraid to be able to put as much money to work as I'd like to. If we took the limits off, believe me, I would buy a quarter of right now when we're back down and then wait for a lower opportunity. But I have limited capital. Why? Because the government is limiting my capital, not because of me. Let's change that. Let's waive those rules. Let's also make it for the people who are most strapped, millennials, who actually, as we know from Robinhood, I hope it's working today, you have 10 million accounts. If they didn't have so many, if they could waive the suspend their tuition, their payments, their student loan, I think they would go in and they buy a share of Amazon. So we need to be able to change it to make it so not to be able to put foolish money to work, but be able to recognize that we have money behind it if our first buy is not a good buy. That would really, really help. I mean, do I want company? I want people to go out and buy Norwegian Cruise Line, which is the stock that's most up in the S&P. I don't know. I got other things I'd like to buy. But I do think that there are opportunities to be able to take some stocks down in different industries. If we knew that we had more capital behind it than other than our 401k being cut off, they need to do that. They need to do that today. The president understands these things. Waive the limits on 401k and IRA and let us put some money to work for the long term. That's what we need. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's get to the bond pits as well this morning. Rick Santelli's at the CME in Chicago. Hey, Rick.
You know, it's been an amazing week, and we could all talk about how much liquidity is needed, especially when markets get super thin and justifiably so, considering some of the swings we've had. But let's step back. 1 week of tens. They're currently at 95. The high on this bounce has been 97. At 95, they're up 14 on the day. They're up 19 on the week. Let's look at 30s. Hovering now at 154. That's up 10 on the day. That's up 18 on the week. And their high so far on this go-around in the last several hours been 178. Remember, it was shocking to see it go under 2%. In tens, it was shocking to see it go under 1%. These are extraordinary times. And anybody who thinks extraordinary times with the type of liabilities and commitments now associated with our sovereigns around the globe, that it isn't going to get messy, I think it's turned out pretty well so far. Bond yields are up about 13 basis points on the week, as you look at a one-week chart there. And if you look at dollar-yen, the other safe harbor, you can seriously see the dollar has just resurged here. The dollar index has had a huge bounce off the lows, and the dollar is a tricky one because I've said all along, even when the dollar got the stuffings knocked out of it after it went under unchanged on the year about a week and a half ago, that its default in a world that is nervous is to the upside because all demands, think emerging markets here, think of all the countries that have put out paper denominated in dollars to aid in terms of their issuance. Well, all of that needs dollars to service. So it is the default. And we could see during moments of big, anxious times in markets and lots of volatility, that dollar really has surged forward rates also are getting a little less unruly, but we're still not through all of this by any means. We still have University of Michigan coming up. So, of course, I'm going to continue to give us more data points. But as we sit now, up on the week is an amazing thing when we think about a 31 intraday low on Monday for 10-year note yields. Carl, David, Jim, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. Session high was up 13.39, so we've cut that obviously more than in half. Jim, your thoughts on that? And then the rate action that Rick was just talking about.
Yeah, look, we've got to understand that this is a time where if you're going to reach for some stocks, you want to reach for stocks that have a good yield, that yield and the company's not cyclical. So I'm looking at AbbVie. AbbVie is a company that is merging with Allergan, taking that company, which is, doesn't have a good reach, for Botox, which is something, believe it or not, David, people will use regardless of what it's pay. It's cash pay. It yields 5.8%. Mr. Gonzalez does a very good job. That's the kind of stock I would go to because it's only up $2. It's well off its high of 97.
So you wouldn't go to a Macy's with a 20% dividend yield?
Consumer spending, I think, is going to be in the question, regardless who it is, except for Costco, which is just a remarkable company.
Right.
Mr. Galanti doing the CFO side, doing great jobs too. And then you do stay-at-home economy. I've been doing that all week, Carl, so that makes DocuSign, D-O-C-U. What a remarkable quarter. DocuSign joins Zoom in my portfolio that says, you know what, this does last 3 months, and the way that things are going to change is we're going to do things virtually. And that's Zoom, and that is DocuSign. I can't wait to speak to Mr. Springer. I'm honored to be able to be on the program with you two gentlemen. I think that we did a lot this morning in order to make it so that people not went and bought stocks, but at least felt the confidence that they're going to be able to have stocks that are going to function.
We were happy that you were able to bring us a Treasury Secretary, who hopefully we'll be hearing more of, because it is important, I think, for our leaders to communicate during these times.
Understood,
Jim. Speaking of communicating, how about we do a stop trading? Don't want to abandon tradition completely. Anything in particular that's on your radar?
Well, you know what? I think we have to look at, David, and I know it's overdone and overworn, but we do have to look at a stock that's come straight down from 153 to 95. Don't buy Disney up four. That's a mistake. But Walt Disney parks closed.
Yep.
What will happen when they reopen, as they did in China? Well, you're going to find a company that has all cylinders. Right now, it only has one, which didn't even exist before, Disney Plus. Watch that stock as a gauge of the consumer sentiment. Don't buy it up for it. That's not what you do. But watch that. Mr. Chapek should come out today, say that he bought a ton of stock. Mr. Iger should come out today, say he bought a ton of stock. And then, you know what? People will buy a ton of stock.
How about Rosenblatt today, guys? We believe those companies with long-time horizons, mega caps with large cash balances, and whose equity outperformed Disney over the last 3 weeks, like Apple, could take advantage of the volatility. I mean, you read between the lines on that
one. Yeah, look, remember, if we buy any company right now that where numbers have to be cut, we're going to regret that. Can Apple possibly do the quarter? Well, it did say, listen, we've got real exposure to the downside. It was very logical about it. And when it happens, I think people are going to say, holy cow, it's not that good. My Chapel Trust bought some Broadcom. It's down 13. Was the quarter optimal? No, it was suboptimal. But I think Hoctan's real. It yields 6.3%. It's down. I want to buy that stock's going to go through 200 like a knife through margarine. So if you're in there buying it, it's time to wait. But I do think that what you want to do is you want to buy stocks that down with good balance sheets that I think are going to make it through this period, which means you have to think about economic cyclicality. You have to be able to say, wait a second, will people still use their product? That's the problem with so much of our consumer economy, Carl. Will people still go to our restaurants?
Well, yeah. I mean, people are asking more structural questions like, over time, does the U.S. need to rely less on the consumer as part of the economy? I mean, we were already headed that direction trying to bring back manufacturing, but does this accelerate that process?
I think that the idea that, you know, I did a big muni deal at Goldman Sachs to be able to, took down a lot of them, to be able to make it so Puerto Rico was the pill manufacturing capital of the world. We do make a lot of pills. Let's make that back. Let's bring that back. I mean, it makes no sense to be reliant. I have a drug right now where I got the word yesterday the ingredients are in China. I mean, give me a break. Why do I have to rely on the PRC to be able to take a drug that I need and I cannot go without? That has to end.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.